name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The topic of Lent has been coming up among people in my neighborhood with whom I live and spend some of my time throughout the week. And I've noticed that whether they're part of a church community or not, people love the season of Lent. I was talking with some college students who are not part of any church community at all, but they'd all taken on a fast for Lent. 40 days for something different in their lives than the way it is. Taking something on, giving something up, it was enticing. And one of my close friends said to me last week as the day was approaching for Ash Wednesday, she said, "I'm just starved for Lent." It's a little oxymoronic to be starved for a season of fasting, isn't it? Well, Lent, in most of the northern hemisphere, today even, and in most of human history, it's when you're running out of stores for the winter. Cellars are growing bare, and the greens have just barely sprouted from the earth, and you are half starved. For most of the world, Lent is a fast imposed by the land and the climate, made holy by practice. I remember being a kid. My grandparents grew these lush gardens, and we'd harvest them every fall. I still remember the smell of canning corn and green beans, the terrible smell of canning tomatoes. But those jars that were so neatly lining the cellar walls. And by this time in the year, there maybe be a few left. We'd open the last ball jar, and then we just go to Kroger. And we go from ball jars to can openers. I was thinking about that time when we went from very little left on the shelves to shelves just filled, and remembering one missionary I know who took teams to Nicaragua. And there was this little grocery store in the village that they served. And you had to put your orders in well in advance. And then when the orders came in and the goods arrived, you had to make a special trip to this little grocery store from the fields to get it before everyone else came to get this precious commodity. For most living human beings, an American grocery store is an extravagance. Episcopal priest Susanna Guthrie noted on her speaking tours in the United States, Mother Teresa was quick to point out the obscene abundance of the West and how it fostered malnourished souls. Maybe so many folks love Lent because it's a time to set aside things in order to tend to the starving soul, malnourished by abundance. Now we have a really strong tie to our things and to the abundance of them. It can even, our stuff can become part of our identity. We have Marie Kondo urging people not only to see what things spark joy in their lives, but then when we let our things go, she has people say to a thing, "Thank you," before sending it off to Goodwill. Now, our 13-year-old babysitter reacted very strongly to me about this in the past week. She said, "Now, don't you just think there's something wrong about saying thank you to an inanimate object? The stuff we buy doesn't have a conscience or a soul. It says something about us," she proclaimed, "when we treat things like they're alive." Research for many years across social and health science fields has demonstrated a strong relationship between economic downturns and an increase in death due to suicide. We are so strongly enmeshed in our relationship with our wealth and our ability to buy things and our own sense of self-worth. I was reading in the Inquirer this week that suicides continue to be on the rise in this nation. In all but one state, even 6 months ago, the rates increased everywhere in this nation from 6% to 58%. Nadine Caslow from the American Psychological Association states, suicide is a public health crisis. And when you look at the numbers, they're going up. It's up everywhere. We know that the rates are even actually higher than what's reported. Our souls have become malnourished by our stuff. Jesus gives us an example of how to respond in a more holy way to all the decadence, all the immediate availability of stuff in our lives. Just before we hear today's gospel lesson in the 4th chapter of Luke, in the 3rd chapter of Luke, Jesus is given an assurance. An assurance of all the extravagance he'll ever need. And this happens when he's with his cousin, John, out in the wilderness. It happens when he's baptized. The Holy Spirit fills up Jesus with everything a human truly needs to live in abundance. A voice from heaven speaks and fills all that Jesus or any human could ever long for. Speaks acceptance, love, and fullness. The voice simply says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." How easily we turn to shopping or food or drink or decorating, things so easily obtained in our worlds, to fill our human longings for acceptance and love and fullness. I think what most of us are really longing to hear is, "You are mine. I love you. I am pleased with you. I'm pleased with you just the way you are." Jesus was filled with that from God the Father, filled with the assurance of God's acceptance and love and fullness, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then was led by that very same Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Now, how does the devil tempt Jesus? Look at all this fullness, all this acceptance, all this wonderful love. Use that fullness. Use that as power for your own gain. The kingdoms of the world can be yours. You can turn bread into bread. You can turn stones into bread. You have so many safety nets. Why not just jump off this cliff? The devil even uses scripture against him. He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit there. Rather than going where there's even more abundance, more friendship and food and health and wealth, Jesus chooses to follow the Spirit into the desert. And that's where we are called during these days of Lent. This is a call for us whose souls are malnourished by our abundance, addicted to our stuff, our titles, our accomplishments, our homes, our clothes, addicted to all these things that we grasp at to give us worth. Our Lenten call is to see what life might be like without our stuff as shields. To see what it's like just to be ourselves, in the eyes of a God who calls us, just as we are, beloved. These 40 days of Lent are an invitation for us to be intentional about fasting, looking at the vastness of our abundance, and then choosing willingly to deny ourselves for this season. Because fasting, it widens the boundaries of compassion. It stretches our hearts. It makes room for love. Lent is meant to expand our capacity to love. It's no wonder we're starved for Lent. In light of the realities of our toxic and fatal American relationship with prosperity, fasting may indeed, Lent may indeed, save our lives. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, in the name of Jesus who fasted in the desert, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Amen.